This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. We will begin this hour on a note of revenge and political vendetta in North Korea that has ended in death, a death that could set in motion more turmoil on the Korean Peninsula. We will end on a note of kindness, though, and consider the year that has passed since the shooting tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut. Along the way, some revelations about the consequences of a farm bill, shall we say, bound up on Capitol Hill, and who that is affecting. We'll definitely hear some voices there. But we begin in North Korea, where it is not clear whether the citizens of that country are relieved or alarmed by this report. Dramatic reading there of the official announcement that Jong Song-taek has been executed, the audio courtesy of North Korea's KRT TV. North Korea's leader Kim Jong-un first purged his uncle as an advisor. We learned that last week. Earlier this week, dramatic pictures of him being dragged from a political meeting by military police were released to the world. Now the announcement that he has been tried, convicted, and executed for treason. What does it all mean? How might the North Koreans be receiving this news? Joining us now from Seoul, South Korea, is Sokil Park, Director of Research and Strategy for the refugee advocacy group Liberty in North Korea. Sokil Park, welcome.
Thank you.
So, first of all, the execution, the significance. Is this a political purge with wider implications for the region, or is this a battle over money between an uncle and a nephew?
Well, at the moment, the regional implications are not clear. I think that the most important effects are going to be domestic. And so right now, the most interesting thing actually about this is not the execution itself, because North Korea has had purges, you know, going right back to the start of the foundation of the country under Kim Il-sung. But the really interesting thing here is how sensationally publicized they've made this. So they've had North Korean state media revelations of Jang Song-taek's alleged crimes that have been very strong and very lengthy. And they've also released the pictures of Jang Song-taek being arrested at this meeting, as you mentioned, and also on trial, at this military trial, and then saying that he's going to be executed. And so at the moment, it seems that this message is really designed to show the people, everybody in the country, and also people in the outside world, that Kim Jong-un is really in charge, that he has absolute power and power is centralized underneath him. But the really interesting thing is that if you read between the lines of this message, it appears that that may not actually be the case. It appears that actually there may be more factional infighting and more weakness and division at the top level of the regime.
Well, let's do some between the lines reading if we can. I want to give people a feel for just the rhetoric here. Here's some of that statement that was heard by North Koreans today. From long ago, Jang had a dirty political ambition. He dare not raise his head when Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il were alive. But reading their faces, Jang had an axe to grind and involved himself in double dealing. The accused is a traitor to the nation for all ages who perpetrated anti-party counter-revolutionary factional acts. And this one, however, despicable human scum Jang, who was worse than a dog, perpetrated thrice-cursed acts of treachery in betrayal of such profound trust and warmest paternal love shown by the party and the leader for him. Can you decipher any of that for me?
Well, I mean, there's really a lot in there. And I think that the KCNA, the North Korean state media announcement today, was actually 2,700 words long. This was really an essay where they put anything and everything that they could put on Jang Song-taek. So, you know, they criticized him for corruption, for trying to sow division, trying to even instigate a coup against Kim Jong-un. And so it seems that, you know, they really went to town on this PR job and this criticism of Jang Song-taek. Maybe they felt that they had to do that because he had risen so high and his own personal power base was so deep that when they, you know, brought him down and when they were purging him, they had to do it in such a dramatic and such a total way. But one of the really interesting things about this, these statements, I think, is that it's kind of opened this window to the level of elite politics in Pyongyang, and it's a very rare window. You know, the North Korean regime has spent a lot of time, you know, decades on trying to curate this image of the North Korean regime, which is very united, which is pure, which is infallible. And all of a sudden, they've opened this window to this picture, which is a very ugly picture, which features highest level corruption, factionalism, and even blaming parts of the regime for their economic failures, which they've traditionally blamed on, you know, American-led sanctions or even the weather. This is an implicit kind of recognition that there's division and weakness within the regime. So this is to the outside world. But maybe even more significant is that this message has gone to the North Korean people themselves that can now think about the North Korean government in a different way.
Well, there are many reports in South Korea suggesting this is an argument over bank accounts between the uncle and the nephew. And we'll have to see if this reflects a personal style of Kim Jong-un. Sohyul Park, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Sohyul Park is Director of Research and Strategy for the advocacy group Liberty in North Korea.